I trust that even with all that, you will give your best efforts to the meetings. I'm excited about our time together. I believe God has something for me to grow in, but I also believe he has something for you to grow in this week. And so let's all seek the Lord together and try to make our best efforts to do that. All right, we are finding our way to Psalm 85. And here in Sunday school, we will be using this passage as a springboard into a topic that I want to cover, studied a little together today. This week is our revival meetings, and revival is a very important thing, and I think it'd be very appropriate to spend some time here studying what is revival. We can have revival this week. It's not a mysterious thing. It's something that's very, very clear in the scriptures, and God wants to revive you. God wants to work in your heart, and he wants to work in mine, and so we need to seek the Lord in that way this week. So, what is revival? I encourage you to take notes all week. Have a pen, paper ready. Write down the things that God is showing you. I try to preach in a way that is simple, with a simple outline. But most importantly, not getting the outline is getting a principle written down. So you try to write down something that God showed you that you can take home and continue to meditate on. As we're looking at this during Sunday school, what is revival? I want to be very careful to deal with some misconceptions about this particular thing that are out there. There's a lot of wrong thinking about revival, and the Bible, as I said, makes it very simple and clear what it is. And so we'll get to those misconceptions, but one of my other goals here this morning is to convince you that you need it. You need revival. I need revival. And sometimes we schedule meetings like this and we're like, okay, life is busy and I got to be at work. And now back to the revival services in the evening. And because of busyness, we miss things. But also, we like to think of ourselves as pretty good people. Now, my intention is not to get up in front of you every night, every time this week and say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. No, we need to hear encouraging words, and we need to not just have that diet. But nonetheless, we need to have the mindset of, I am in need this week. There are things that God wants to teach me. And I want to try to kind of spur your thinking a little bit by asking a few questions as we enter into this week together and study this topic in Sunday school. A few questions to help me think, to help you think, what is my need, and help me see, help you see how much we do need revival. Here's a question to get you thinking. Question, have you been spending time in God's Word and meditating on his truths as God would want you to lately? Another question. Have you been spending time in prayer, talking to the Lord about your needs and the needs of others as God would want you to? Now, I put that last phrase in there, as God would want you to, for both of these, because we all have different schedules. Some of us may have an hour that we can spend with the Lord every day, reading his word or spending time in prayer, but then the next guy may only have 5-10 minutes because his schedule is just so packed, and I understand that. And so God wants you to do something with the time he has given you to spend with him. And so the question is, have we been spending time with God in the Bible, in prayer, as God would want us to lately? If we have to answer no, then we need revival. We need to draw near to God again. Question. Have you been properly praising the Lord for his goodness in your life, thankful for all that he has given you, and content with everything you have? Question, have you allowed the world to influence and corrupt your entertainment, dress, or language in any way? Question, have you been struggling with a critical, bitter, or unforgiving spirit toward God or someone else? Question, have you in any way become lazy or careless in the work that God has given you to do? Question, have your long-term goals become selfish and opposed to the will of God? And we could continue to ask ourselves question after question as we consider, do I need revival today? Because we are so prone to sin and failure as human beings, the fact of the matter is, just about all the time, we have an area in our lives that we need revived in. I need revival this week. And if I were to continue to ask myself questions or think deeper about these, it wouldn't be long before I realized God wants to do a work in my heart. Last week, we had revival services. God did a work in my heart in one or two areas specifically. And he wants to do the same thing in your heart this week, all of our hearts this week, as we have this special time scheduled to draw near to him. Now, to deal with some of the misconceptions, what is revival? We need to be very careful that we enter into this week with the right perspective about what God wants to accomplish in our hearts. There's some misconceptions out there about what revival is, and I kind of have narrowed it down to two sides, two extremes. There's one misconception out there that revival is a sovereign act of God, and it's something that can just suddenly fall upon God's people through God doing it. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, Dan already said it's a misconception. Well, it does sound pretty good, but the fact of the matter is it's missing something that the Bible teaches. Revival is a work that God does, but there's more to it than that. If revival is thought of as an unexpected phenomenon that suddenly falls upon believers through a sovereign act of God, then scheduling revival meetings is pointless, really, because revival could come any time when God chooses to send it. But there's more to it than that. It's not just something that is up to God. So scheduling revival meetings would be pointless. Revival preaching, evangelists, it'd just be a big show if it was, I don't know if it'll come or not, kind of thing. We can be guaranteed to have revival this week. The Bible teaches that. And so revival is not something that's all up to God. There's more to it, and that is the other extreme I want to mention. The other extreme is that it's all up to man. The truth is, there's two parts of this. But the other extreme, the other misconception is that it's something that man really works up. That is something that's very emotional and you got to get excited about it before you have it. And that's wrong too. And we see that around people getting excited about revival meetings, and we should be excited. So again, there's truth there, but they love to laugh, they enjoy the singing, and they create this very highly emotional atmosphere, and everyone's getting excited about it, and they go away saying, "Wow, we had revival," when the truth is nothing really changed in their lives. And so that's a misconception. It's not just getting excited about God. It is a work that God does. It is something that His Spirit is working through. But it's also based upon a choice that men must have to make. And that's what the Bible teaches. And so both of those things are misconceptions. We need to be careful to stay away from them. And we need to look at the Bible and see what it says. Now, Psalm 85, verse 1, it says, "Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins," Selah. Think about it. "Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger." And here's the psalmist's cry for revival. "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" Why is he talking about the anger of God? Because he knew there was wickedness amongst his people. There was sin. Verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" You notice the last part of verse 6. Of course, it mentioned the word revival, and we'll dig into that a little bit, but the last part says that thy people may rejoice in thee. I've heard people take that verse and say, well, that's revival right there. It's people rejoicing. But no, that's a misconception again. being all emotional. But rejoicing is something that comes from revival, no doubt. When God is working in our hearts and people are getting right and sin is being confessed and lives are being changed, that's an exciting thing. And we ought to praise God for that. I think we ought to open our mouths and say something about it. Not be ashamed to praise the Lord. But it says, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Rejoicing is something that comes from revival. Often, people getting saved is something that comes from revival. We've read about and heard about area-wide revivals. And if we're really going to be technical, that may be a wrong way to use the word. But in that concept, when we're talking about that, we're thinking, man, bars are shutting down and people are getting saved. And the morality of the area is just increasing and getting better. And that's a good thing. But those are things that come from revival. And God wants to do revival amongst his people here. The kind that the Bible talks about. And so, number one, let's notice a picture of revival in the Word of God to help us understand better what revival is and what God wants to do in our hearts. The word revive there, wilt thou not revive us again? That word in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but that word has a very simple meaning. You've probably even heard it before. It means to live again. To live, to come to life, to recover, to resurrect, and restore to life. Now, in the Bible, we see a picture of what this is, and we see how spiritual revival is illustrated by physical revival. This same word is used throughout the Scriptures to help us understand the spiritual aspect of it, and we see it used in the physical realm. Take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, we'll turn around just a few times here in Sunday school as we study this. 2 Kings chapter 8. And here is a time when Ben-Hadad was sick, physically sick. 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 7 through 8, it says there, 7 through 10. That little passage just says, and Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? Those words, shall I recover, is the same word we just read. Over in Psalm 85. That's that Hebrew word for revive. Shall I recover of this disease? So shall I revive from this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent to me, saying, shall I recover? There it is again, same word, of this disease. And Elisha said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Same idea there. And so we see how spiritual revival, the work that God wants to do in your heart and mind this week, is illustrated by physical revival. It's recovering. It's being restored to life. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. I'll just give you a bunch of other passages that use the same Hebrew word to illustrate the same concept of revival. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 7, the sickness of Hezekiah there. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. He revived. He was restored back to the life that he needed to be. Good physical health. Judges chapter 15, verses 14 through 15, and then also 18 through 19. That passage there is the time when Samson was taking on all those Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. Remember, he, by the strength of God, won a great victory there. And then what took place after that? You talk to me for a little. Remember? He was thirsty. Sure, he was worn out. Physically, he was in dire straits, and so he called unto the Lord, you remember, And where's the verses there? He was sore athirst, called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. And so, we see again, God's concept of revival is to recover something, to bring it back to life. And we see that in the physical in many passages in the Word of God. Also, 1 Kings chapter 17, again, resurrection of the widow's son by Elijah. Elijah prayed and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived, it says. And so God's illustration for revival here is the physical. And we apply that then to what God wants to do in our lives in the spiritual. So in most cases, health, strength physically is the normal state of our bodies. Now that may change as we begin to get older, but most of the time, our bodies function pretty well. That's the normal state. But when we are unconscious or sick, a physical revival and restoration is needed. And often, we will be very quick and diligent to seek out that revival physically. We will very quickly and earnestly look for the remedy to help us to recover to that normal state in which we were designed to exist. I remember a few summers ago at Servant's Heart Camp, where we serve in the summertime, that Sarah had a high fever. And I don't know if we remember what caused it exactly, but it was hot in our trailer, and it was a hot day. And we think that her fever just got so hot that it caused her to go into a seizure. But we didn't know what was happening, and we were concerned, and the ambulance was called, and it was an emergency in our minds. We were scared. I wasn't at the trailer at that time, but Liz called, and I heard all this crazy stuff going on. I thought, I got to get up there, and I ran up the hill to the trailer, and that's what I found. Sarah was just there convulsing. We treated that as an emergency. There wasn't anything else important at that time except that great need right in front of us. And we rushed to the remedy. This little girl, our Sarah, needed revived. And so when we are unconscious spiritually, when we are dead spiritually, friends, we need to recognize it as an emergency. Oh, this week of revival is so important that we set aside as a special time to seek the Lord. We need to enter into it recognizing I am in great need. And I may not even realize all the specifics of what my need is, but I'm going to trust that God wants to do a work anyway, and God will show me the specifics. But this is an emergency for me spiritually, and I need to seek the Lord. I know there's still other responsibilities, and I know that life is busy and the work goes on outside of church, but friends, let's treat this as an emergency in each one of our spiritual lives. And so, we see that the picture of revival in the Word of God is to recover, and it's illustrated by physical revival. We need spiritual revival. Number two, though, notice the promise of revival. I love this about revival. It's a very simple concept. There's lots of misconceptions out there, but when the Word of God begins to paint the picture of what it is, it's a wonderful, very predictable thing. It basically boils down to this. Spiritual revival is a predictable response. God wants to do that work. It's a predictable response from God. He gives us revival when we meet His conditions. It's that simple. God promises revival when we meet His conditions. We don't have to wonder this week whether or not God is going to send revival to us. He wants to. He's ready to. But we have to meet the requirements. The Bible says in Psalm 80, verse 3, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 27, "And in the time of their trouble, when they," speaking of Israel, "cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors." And so we see when they cried unto him, he heard them and gave them saviors. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 12 through 13. I love this passage. Remember the man named King Manasseh in the Word of God? Was he good or bad? Oh, he was wicked. He was horrible. But you remember what happened at the end of his life. There, God did a mighty work in his heart. I'll read it. "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." He was fully restored. Why? Because he met the conditions right here. The Bible says he humbled himself before the Lord his God and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him because he met the conditions. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, "Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." 2 Chronicles 7:14, that one's so familiar and common, but there's powerful truths there that teach the same thing. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Take all those truths, boil them down to the basics, and what do you have? When God's people turn to him, he promises to turn to them. When God's people respond to his Spirit, he promises to do a work in their heart. When that happens, there's revival taking place. That's what we call revival. There's people getting back to normal. There's Christians who are recognizing, I have this problem. They turn from that. They reject the sin, confess it, and get back to where they should be spiritually. Back to that normal Christianity. Sadly, normal Christianity has been redefined. But the Bible tells us what it is. I think if we were to go to Acts chapter 2, we'd find a great example of normal Christianity. God wants to get you back to normal this week. For some of us, it may be some giant leaps that we need to take to get back to where we should be. For others, it may be God just shows you this in your life, that needs to change, or this needs to be improved, that needs to be tweaked. But either way, they're both revival. God wants to do that in each one of our hearts. Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see, God responds to your hungering and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And so God promises revival when we meet his conditions. And the wonderful thing about all this is that the conditions, God's conditions, are not mysterious. They're very clearly outlined in the Word of God. He's looking for us to repent. He's looking for us to be sensitive to his Spirit. When God's Spirit convicts us of something in our lives, which I think happens a lot more than we'd like to admit. But when God's Spirit convicts us of something in our lives, we're ready and willing to respond to his Spirit. And he promises to respond to that. When we turn to him, he turns to us. Take your Bibles and turn over to James chapter 4. I think this is probably the last passage we'll turn to. James chapter 4. This is probably the most important, a very, very important passage in the New Testament on revival. I would go here to James chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. And so God's conditions are not a mystery. He waits for our repentance. That is what he's waiting for. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, you take this very seriously the work that God was trying to do in your heart. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There are promises there for us this week, friends. God promises revival. All he is doing is he's waiting for our repentance. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray, Lord, send a revival. And often we use terms that I think confuse and maybe feed the misconceptions out there. And I'm not going to bash terms like God showed up or I don't know, I can't think of anything else. But I understand why we use those. We're just trying to communicate. But the truth is God wants to do that work and we need to spend time praying for it. We need to spend time seeking him and then recognize that, you know, revival is something we can have. Don't just pray for it and then sit around and wait. Will it happen? Maybe. I don't know. Will God answer our prayer? Yes, he's ready to answer the prayer and he promised he would. Question is, do we want it? And so we don't have to wonder whether or not God will give us revival this week. You see, it's guaranteed if we need it and choose to submit to his requirements, he will send it. It's a very simple, wonderful truth in God's word. So number one, we saw the picture of revival. Number two, the promise of revival. Finally, number three, the purpose of revival. It's a very, very simple purpose that God has for revival. Ultimately, it's to glorify him. But revival is basically believers turning back to a life that's surrendered to God and obedient to his commands. You could put different definitions next to it. I like getting back to normal, getting back to where we should be. But more specifics, we need to turn back to that surrendered life. Get back to where everything is given over to God and obedient to his commands. In other words, our hearts need to be very sensitive to do that. We need to be willing to just respond to his spirit. Even if it's just the slightest bit of conviction, we're ready to say, God, I want to please you. God, I want to change whatever I need to make sure that I'm right with you in every way that I know. So I ask, is that your spirit this week? God wants to do a work in our hearts. He wants to send revival. Question is, do we want it as much as him? Will we be willing to meet his requirements? So be very careful to not have misconceptions this week. It's okay to get excited. God made us emotional creatures, but excitement, emotion is not revival. It's allowing God to change our lives. It's responding to his spirit. And let's not just idly wait around saying, well, we have these meetings scheduled, but if God doesn't send it, oh well. No, God was ready to send it. We need to meet his requirements. And so I challenge you, be sensitive to God's spirit this week. And when he shows you something that you need to change, something that you're supposed to do, you do it. Make up your mind now that you're going to do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word and the things it teaches us about the work that you want to do in our hearts this week. Lord, I pray that you would revive your people. No doubt, there's something in each one of our hearts, each one of our lives, that you want us to change, that you want us to grow in. And so I pray that you would be very specific in your conviction in our lives this week. And Lord, I pray that you would protect us from misconceptions that are out there. I pray that you would help us to understand very clearly the work that you want us to do. that you want us to allow you to do in our hearts this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.